boy, do I want to be Mr. Gonzalez or do I want to be Joseph? Mm. Not that I couldn't go by one or the other, but the premise behind that, and I really felt this tug in my heart to be able to minister. That was a call I first felt when I was answering what I thought was a call to the priesthood when I entered seminary.
Hello and welcome. My name is Rachel, and you're listening to episode 189 of Candid Catholic Convos, a show about Catholicism that enriches your faith, answers your questions, and meets you wherever you're at on your faith journey. Have you ever said, I wish God would just let me in on his plans? I wish I just knew what it was I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Or if you've ever wondered why certain things in life worked out while others didn't. If you have, then today's episode is for you. But before we jump in, let's start with scripture. Today's reading comes from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. I love this verse because it perfectly captures the tension we all experience when discerning our vocation. That balance between our desire to make plans and God's call to trust in his direction. It reminds us that it's perfectly good, even holy, to make plans for our lives. I mean, God gave us reason, imagination, and desire for a purpose. But this verse also invites us to hold those plans loosely, to leave room for the Holy Spirit to move. Think about how often God's call in Scripture surprises people. I mean, Moses was planning on an ordinary life as a shepherd when God spoke to him through a burning bush. Mary had plans for a quiet life with Joseph before the angel Gabriel appeared. Even the apostles were busy fishing when Jesus called out, "Follow me." None of them could have predicted where God's redirection would lead. But each step established by the Lord brought them closer to their true purpose. Maybe you felt that same tension in your own life. You had your path all laid out, a relationship, a career, a dream. And then suddenly, God nudged you in a new direction. It can feel confusing, even disappointing at first. But Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 reminds us that when we surrender our plans to God, we're not losing control. We're gaining peace. Because it's not about the path we design. It's about the steps he ordains. So if you're in a season where your plans are shifting or doors are closing, don't panic. God isn't abandoning your story. He's writing it. Let him establish your steps, one at a time, and trust that his route, though unexpected, will always lead you home. Have you ever had your life all mapped out, only for God to completely reroute your plans? If so, you're in good company, because that's exactly what happened to St. Francis of Assisi, today's Saint Spotlight. Francis grew up dreaming of glory and adventure. As a young man, he wanted nothing more than to be a knight. Famous, powerful, respected. But after being captured in battle and falling seriously ill, Francis began to see how fragile those dreams really were. In his weakness, God began whispering a new call, "Rebuild my church." At first, Francis took that literally, gathering stones to repair a small chapel. But soon, he realized God's call went deeper. Francis was being invited to rebuild the church spiritually by living a life of radical poverty, simplicity, and love of Christ. What's beautiful is that Francis didn't actually fail in his first dream. Rather, he allowed God to redirect it. His desire to serve and sacrifice didn't disappear, it was transformed. So when God shifts your path, remember St. Francis. Sometimes God's redirection isn't rejection. It's an invitation to something greater than you imagined. Sitting in the unknown can often be uncomfortable, but now that we know transformation is possible when we stop white-knuckling it and actually let God steer our lives, let's dive into today's marquee topic, when God redirects. Today, we're chatting with Joseph Gonzalez, youth minister and development director at St. John the Baptist Parish in New Freedom, about his big plot twist moment in life that led him to following God's call much differently than he imagined. Joseph, welcome to Candid Catholic Convos. I'm really excited to have you here today and to chat about this.
Thank you, Rachel. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So for those who maybe haven't met you yet, could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yep. So my name's Joseph. I live in Southern York County. I've only lived there for the past year because I got married this past November.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And so I've been living there for about a year now. Prior to that, I've jumped around in the diocese working different positions from different types of ministry. I'm currently a youth minister and director of development, so fundraising. Prior to that, youth minister at St. John Newman. I'm working backwards. You'd go to Shippensburg University. I was college campus minister. So St. Catherine's in Quarryville is where I grew up. So I've been different things. I got my education degree and I taught in the diocese for a while at Resurrection, which unfortunately just closed. But yeah, so that's kind of the working side. And then on the personal side, I grew up in Lancaster, but my wife, Caitlin, grew up in Southern York and we're there now. And I guess I'll just start off right away with exciting stuff.
Yeah, go for it.
Caitlin is expecting. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I figured I'd put it out there because now all of our listeners can hopefully pray for us, too, for our first child. Here.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. That's so exciting. I love
thank
babies.
Thank you. Thank you.
You have this varied experience all throughout the diocese. What kind of led you on this path of wanting to be involved in the faith this way?
All different things. I mean, there's a little bit of the way that I was brought up in being raised, and there's certain things you do. In some ways, there was some surface level stuff there, left more to be wanting, but there was that set, okay, you're going to be doing this every Sunday, things like that. And then from early relationships, whether that be friendships or even dating relationships, the first dating relationship I was in, this girl was really into the Catholic faith. I said, well, let me give this a shot, you know, like let me really commit. And that has never changed, it only grew. As I mentioned, I was a teacher for a while. While doing that, I was part-time youth minister. And I felt that call between, boy, do I want to be Mr. Gonzalez or do I want to be Joseph? Mm. Not that I couldn't go by one or the other, but the premise behind that. And I really felt this tug in my heart to be able to minister. That was a call I first felt when I was answering what I thought was a call to the priesthood when I entered seminary, too. I was in seminary for a year and a half.
Talk to me about that. Because I feel like when we are trying to discern God's call, I always struggled with, is this something that I want or is this something that God wants? And trying to navigate that. So how were you able to basically discern in and then now discern out? How did you feel during that time?
Yeah. It's a common question I get. Discerning in, and this isn't uncommon, I think, nowadays, is that there's a lot of people are afraid to give God that chance of, oh, if I give seminary a shot or a religious life or whatever a shot, you feel like you're signing your life away. That's not the case. It's not the case. I hope all the listeners hear that's not the case. That wasn't my case. For me, it wasn't brought up to me really in the first place of you should try this. So it wasn't until after that first relationship that I mentioned, first dating relationship, that after that ended, I thought that was the way to go. Mm-hmm. And when that fell through, I was like, all right, God, I kind of wrote the blank check, whatever you want. I prayed this, my first novena after that, whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want. And a couple months later, it was the Feast of St. Matthew. It was September 21st, 2015, Millersville University in their Newman Chapel. I can remember it so clearly. In no way was I considering the priesthood. I was still trying to figure out how do I navigate no longer being in this dating relationship, being respectful of her because she's still on the same campus and in the same groups and trying to figure that out in my own heart when God hits me with this in the middle of the reading, you should be a priest. It was a thought. It was as if it was like a thought planted in my mind that wasn't my own. And I sat down, was not sure what I had just experienced. And I didn't say anything to anybody else. Then the priest starts his homily off. Do we know what's special about the Feast of St. Matthew other than it being his feast day today? This is the anniversary when Pope Francis had his call to the priesthood. I'm like, what? What is happening right now? I was flabbergasted. And I already had a meeting to talk with the priest later that week. So we ended up speaking and he kind of helped to talk to me about natural versus supernatural callings. And that was kind of God hitting me on the head with that ton of bricks that people pray for. That's what happened there. Like, all right, I got to be open to this. I talked to the vocations director at the time. It wasn't a all at once process either. I thought, you know, oh, this talk to this guy and he's going to like sign me up right away.
Like the army when they recruit you. Yeah.
Right,
just sign here
right.
and you're Sonya. That's it.
Yeah. And he's like, well, you just experienced this. It's your first time. You weren't really even considering it before. Let's keep praying about it. Do you feel like you need to enter right now? No, I guess not. Continue to pray about it. Down the line, I was in another retreat. And in the middle of that retreat, it became much more clear. So then I entered and for our diocese, Harrisburg Diocese, and was assigned to Mount St. Mary Seminary. A year and a half there was beautiful. But as far as your second question of the discerning out, after that first year of being in, I realized I was handling discernment differently. Discernment being, you know, this trying to determine or decide, Lord, what are you calling me to do? What am I called to do? And after that first dating relationship, when I thought I knew what was right and then realized, oh, that was not the right way, that's when I decided, all right, I'm not going to close any doors to God. At least that's what I was telling myself I was doing. But then I was in seminary for a full year saying, all right, God, even if you call me out of seminary, I'll go whichever way you want me to go. And through healthy spiritual direction, like very good guidance, it was, okay, Joseph, yes, don't close any doors, but you do want to kind of put the blinders on. You're in seminary, so this should be your primary focus, not whatever you're calling me to, God. You have your, that's like, if we can, for whatever reason, we can see it in a worldly context. If I was dating a person, I wouldn't be like, okay, God, any girl you're calling me to, right? Right? You're like, no, this is the girl you're focusing on
yes.
right now. So it's the same, it's very similar with seminary. It's, okay, you're here now. Put the blinders on, focus on this, and trust that if you're really giving your all to God, taking it one day at a time, not, okay, I'm going to be a priest down the road. No, take it one day at a time, but keep that as your focus. And if that's not where God's calling you, as long as you are trusting it all to God, God will guide you. And that's what happened. Once I realized that after a year in, I was like, okay, God. And I put the blinders on, so to speak, and was like, I'm all in here. And it was so beautiful. In that moment, that last semester of seminary, I grew intellectually and in my heart. Like I grew to know more about the priesthood and to love it more. And that didn't change throughout that semester. When I bring that up, people are like, are you sure you did the right thing here?
Yeah. Did you ever have any second thoughts?
In that semester, that was it. That was the second thought throughout that semester, was growing to love it more, know it more. But when I prayed about it, there was this lack of, and discernment's a little different for each person. You know, some people are more of the thinking types or the feeling types, right? All the like Myers-Briggs test, you know, we'll talk about type stuff like that. And in that moment, I guess it was more of the feeling for me, because I was like, yes, everything about this is good and beautiful. I see that God has gifted me in certain ways that would benefit my ministry as a priest if I were to be ordained one day. But I just have a lack of peace in prayer every time I think of myself being a priest. And that was consistent in my prayer life. And then my spiritual director in the seminary, same thing. He was like, yeah, I'm feeling that same thing that you're feeling. Spoke to several other trusted, mainly priests, and they were in the same boat. They were like, yeah. So I had others who definitely would have been excited to see me go that way. We're like, yeah, we're feeling the same thing in our prayer too. And I was like, okay. So, but they knew also were wise in not bringing that up until I first said, like, I'm feeling this
sure,
in my own
sure,
life.
Sure, yeah.
So I left. It was annoying because I was like, God, what are you doing here to me? Like, I'm loving it more than before. I'm knowing, understanding more than before. And to this day, I would say it's true. Here I am a married man now, not planning to be ordained. But yet I'm like, oh, the priesthood, Lord, your priesthood that the priests share in is beautiful. And I want more people to know about it. I only grew from that experience. Yeah.
I love everything that you said about that, because that sense of peace is so important, because you mentioned about the dating relationships, and people ask me all the time, especially like when I was engaged to be married and like my girlfriends hadn't found the one yet, yeah. They'd be like, well, how do you know that he's the right one? Mm-hmm. And it was that sense of like just overwhelming peace.
Yes.
Like, because when I was dating my husband, I had gotten out of another relationship that I thought that guy was the guy. And thank God he was not the guy.
Right.
But when it was that, when we would talk about getting married, and I was just like overcome with this anxiety. But then when I was dating my husband and he would randomly just be like, we should just go to Atlantic City and get married. And I'd be like, yeah, like it was just this no qualms about it. Not a second thought. We're just going to go do it. And that to me was that it was that feeling of like So I'm like you. Anytime I have a feeling like that, I had a project that I was working on about a year and a half ago that I was so excited to do. It was going to be awesome. And the closer we got to this project, like actually kicking off, the more like I just had this pit in my stomach of like, this is not going to be good. We should pull the plug. And I'm so glad we did, because I feel like as soon as I was like, no, I don't think now is the right time to do this project, that all went away. It all went away. And it just was like, okay, we're trusting God's process in this. It might not be the same map that we want to follow, but yes, he's got some other paths to take us down. Yes. And I'm one of those people that like, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm trying to like, I want to follow through with it. How did that feel going through when you discerned out of seminary? Did you have any feelings of like, I'm letting somebody down, or like maybe this is not... Like, because to me, that would be a very competing feeling of like, I know that I need to not be in this situation, but I feel like I'm letting everybody down.
Yes. Thanks for asking that. That's a really important part of this discernment process in my own journey and in anybody's journey, is having a healthy discernment of spirits. So there's this Ignatian spirituality talking about times of consolation and desolation. As Father Tim Gallagher teaches, he's a big Ignatian teacher, don't discern during desolation. Mm. So I like to, because some people say, well, you don't want to just go off of feelings. I agree. It's if you're having a lot of crappy stuff happening to you one after the other, in all at once, and you're just feeling really, really bad, you're not going to make your best decisions in those moments. So that's why I'm really grateful to look back and say, in that last semester, when I was really like, God, what are you calling me to do here? There wasn't, that's why I'm saying like, I fell in love with it. There was all these positive things associated with that last semester. It was the best, the most enjoyable semester. And it was with that it was in this period of consolation that I was able to come to that conclusion and feel confident in what I was deciding. Like, this isn't emotional. Like, I'm loving what I'm doing, but also in the seminary, but I'm also realizing this isn't what I'm called to. So as far as that disappointing thing, there wasn't a ton of fear that was associated in that time. We wouldn't want to act off of fear.
Right.
But it did occur to me, and I was like, will it happen? It might. We'll see. And as I started to talk with people about it, especially those people that were all gung-ho about me entering in the first place, because there are a lot of people that were supporting, I'm thinking, man, I've got several Knights of Columbus councils that financially support me. I've got tons of people at all different parishes that are spiritually supporting me, praying for me over this past year and a half or more. I've got my family members that were way more supportive than I expected them to be. And that's a whole other story of how, because not every guy gets that. And my family was really struggling with a lot at the time when I told them that I was entering. They took it very well. So I'm like, well, now we're going to throw a curveball at them and tell them I'm leaving. And it was, God just really worked through that. People just came out and were like, Joseph, we weren't praying that you become a priest necessarily. Most people would say that, not everybody. We were praying that you could figure out God's will and that you would serve God. And we don't think you're about to leave seminary and stop serving God. We think that you're going to continue to love and serve God, and we support you in what you're doing. It was a huge blessing. Yeah, there was no, I can't think of a single person that came and spoke about disappointment about it, which again, that's not everybody's experience.
Sure.
So it was a blessing for me. Yeah.
I love that they prayed for you to find God's will for you, because I no doubt believe that everything that you've learned at seminary, you are now using.
Yes.
In the various ministries that you're a part of.
Yes.
Talk to me about how that's kind of influenced how you conduct ministry now.
Yeah. In ministry and in personal life. I'll throw this out there to get to your question, because there might be people listening to this podcast that are battling with their heart like, oh, but I really want to be in a relationship. First of all, being in the seminary, that is your dating relationship. If you're dating the church, discerning if you want to be married to the church, right? So that is being in a relationship. But also dating relationships I was in after seminary, I was able to discern so much more confidently, knowing who I am and how to discern properly because of my time in seminary.
Oh, wow.
And that's some of the stuff I bring up in my ministry now, because I'm ministering to teens and young adults, and to talk about that type of stuff, where their hearts, where they're wrestling with things right now, not just in the big decisions, thinking about marriage and thinking about stuff, but even like thinking about religious life or priesthood, But even thinking about what your job is, or even smaller things, especially for the teens, they're not quite ready to, some of them are not quite there yet. So they might be struggling with, do I join another sports team? Should I be going to an extra mass during the week? Should I go and ask that person on a date? Like, these are the things that teens are struggling with. So to be able to bring in the years of experience in seminary or around that formation and use that in the ministry, it could look, it's telling the story that I'm sharing with you right now, but it's also in seminary, they have the four, they used to call them the four pillars. I think they say the four dimensions now. The reason being because they used a stool and they were like, it's the four-legged stool. You can't take one out without the others toppling. There are three-legged stools. Yeah. They were like, this analogy doesn't work. Let's change it to dimensions. So the four dimensions being pastoral, spiritual, fraternal, and the intellectual, the academics. So those four dimensions that we had to focus on is huge in everybody's life. Whenever you go through a transition, I just mentioned marriage is about a year out. I just got married about a year ago. We now have baby on the way here. I mean, all of this going on, there's always times of transition. I mean, I just started this new job at St. John the Baptist in New Freedom only a month and a half ago. And you need to find that balance in, okay, I need to still watch my prayer life. I still need to keep up with, I'm going for my master's degree through the Theology of the Body Institute. So I need to keep up with my master's work. I need to try to keep up with my relationship with my wife and my extended family and my friends. And you're trying to find the balance of, oh yeah, chores happened somewhere in there too along the way, as we were talking about earlier. Like, all these things, and that was not a complete list, a comprehensive list. That's just an example of, there's so many things to balance. And seminary really was helping to learn what that balance looks like, and how it's important to say no to some things, because you're not Jesus. You're a limited human being, and that's okay. Rely on God, and yeah.
Imagine you're talking to somebody in the youth group who's coming to you and saying, I don't know what God has for me or where God is calling me to go. What would your primary advice to them be?
Good luck. No, just kidding.
We could all use that one.
I do like to troll the teens. It's fun. But it keeps it lighthearted when we get into like serious topics. So when a teen asks me where's God calling me, I don't try to pretend that I know everything going on in their heart. One piece of advice that has been passed on from one of my professors at the DOB Institute is, go within with him. So don't go within your heart alone. There's a lot of stuff going on in there, and so many people think, I'm fine, I got this, I can figure it out. Go within with him, with Jesus. Get a good spiritual director. I'm not an officially trained spiritual director, and I like to make that clear. So I try to give some guidance where I can as a minister. And when I see that something further is needed, whether that be counseling, depending on the situation, or whether it be just a director to figure out how to balance those things in life. Those are some of the things that I suggest early on. But in that conversation, I'll try to do what I can with the person, and I'll ask them, where is your prayer life like at? Like, trying to see if they have set those priorities. I just did this 2 days ago at the Behold conference for our diocese. I was catching up with a teen from the last church that I was ministering at, and he was telling me about all these AP courses he's taking and how he, and then pretty quickly I was like, so how are you feeling with all that coursework? He said, well, I've lost, you know, I went from sleeping 8 hours a day to 6.5 hours a day. And so I'm registering. Okay. So sleep is going down as this work is ramping up. And he's like, yeah, it's great though. I'll be graduating high school with enough credits to be counted as a junior in college. I'm like, this kid is a genius. He's so smart. So I was like, all right, because I care for you, this is why I ask. And I knew I already have the prior relationship to feel comfortable to just go right here. Some people would feel guilted by it or whatever. How's your prayer life doing? And he's like, well, I'm going to 6:30 a.m. mass every day, and I do that before I drive to school in the morning, and I try to make holy hours in the evening when I can. And I'm like, all right, that's also really awesome. I'm glad your prayer life is there. But then I pulled in another thing from right after seminary that was given to me by a priest, because I was after seminary struggle. There was a struggle from adjusting to what I was called to do in the seminary to trying to live life outside of the seminary while still having those practices in mind. And I had to reprioritize. So the advice that was given to me that I then passed on to this team was, Joseph, you're no longer in seminary. So you don't have to live the life of a seminarian. Like, you're trying to make it to Mass. At the time, there was a lot going on in my life, and I was trying to pray a holy hour every single day and go to Mass every single day. Not that it's impossible for people to do, but there are some situations that don't always allow that to happen. At the time, my situation was not allowing that, and I was trying to make it happen. I was losing sleep. Now I saw that in this teenager, and I shared that with him. I was like, that's great that you're pulling these things off. I'm not your spiritual director. Keep it in mind, though. It's not going to be a sin if you miss a daily Mass in order to get your full 8 hours of sleep, for example. So just helping him to kind of like hear it from somebody who he looks up to, that it's okay to find this balance. You're not sinning. You can actually love God by sleeping, by getting your full amount of sleep. And the usual encouragement, spiritual direction. So, yeah.
That's such an important reminder, even for adults, like, because like you said, like, we go through transition periods all the time. Like, you went from transitioning from seminary to, I don't know what the word is, if ordinary life is like the word for it. But now you're transitioning to fatherhood, or like transitioning from careers, like, where change is the only constant in life. So I feel like that's super applicable even to someone who is in their 40s or 50s, that this is, we don't have to do it all, and we're not going to be punished for not doing it all.
Yes, not only we don't have to do it all, we can't do it all. And that's okay. That's okay.
Well, Joseph, thank you so much for coming in and sharing this journey with us, because it's not just your journey. We're all on this journey together, and we can all take something from discernment. So I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me here, Rachel. It was really fun to talk about it.
And that's our show. Candid Catholic Convos is brought to you by the Diocese of Harrisburg, hosted and sound engineered by me, Rachel Trochet, and produced by Rachel Bryson. If today's episode resonated with you, please share it on social media. You can tag us using @HBGDiocese. Make sure you also subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you never miss an episode. And if you'd like to support our production efforts, a donation to our diocesan annual campaign would benefit us greatly in continuing our ministry. Next week, we'll be hearing from nuns and sisters about consecrated religious life in a modern world. We're also closing out the month with a special listener Q&A episode featuring your questions. Whether it's about the Catholic faith, church teachings, traditions, prayer life, or anything you've been wrestling with, we're all ears. Submit your questions via the link on our Facebook page, and at the end of the month, we'll answer 3 to 5 of them on the program. So like, subscribe, keep praying for us, and we'll keep praying for you.